Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Sing it again. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing that I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Sing it again. I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
He calls me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. You call me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. You call me friend.
And that's just a great thing that we can call God friend, and He calls us friend. To be friends with the Creator of the universe, you can be seated. Aren't you glad you can say that? I am a friend of God. Let's continue worshiping this morning by singing 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind.
For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. Yeah. Kent and Charlton, thank you so much. And Sherry and Nancy. Dan, thank you. And choir, thank you. I tell you what a great old song they sang. That's good. You know, I get excited when I see our kids get excited about going to children's church. But that's no different than we adults are, is it, huh? We're excited, huh? That's good. Well, hey, look at the... Go ahead and get your listening sheet out, and pen or pencil. Get that. Now look at the title of the message. If you've got the what?
Money,
honey. Now you may remember that song from Willie Nelson, and if you do remember that song, how many of you remember that song from Willie? Now, let me say this. If you know the words to that song, shame on you. But just as a reminder, I got a hold of one of Willie's relatives, and I asked him to come just to kick this off. You probably won't remember these particular lyrics.
If you got the money, honey, I got the time. We'll go to church together, won't give a dime. We'll listen to the preacher, won't give our tithe. If you got the money, honey, I got the time. There ain't no need to tarry, let's go there tonight. And since it's a Baptist church, we may even see a fight. No need to bring your Bible, I'm leaving mine behind. If you got the money, honey, I got the time. If you got the money, honey, I got the time.
My opinion is that he probably needs to get on the road again, don't you think? Huh? All right, well, you see the title. If you've got the money, honey. Well, we're obviously talking about tithing today. Now, let me remind you that God loves a cheerful giver. However, I'm convinced that he'll even accept money from a grump. You figure out which one you want to be. Well, we're talking about tithing today, talking about money this morning. Now, if you're uncomfortable with that, that probably tells me you're not a tither. And so, just a little heads up. Don't come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I was uncomfortable about you talking about money this morning. Because that probably tells me where you happen to be from a spiritual standpoint. But you see, I want to see you blessed. I want to see our church blessed. And I want to see God's kingdom advanced. And to be honest with you, money plays a big part in all three of those arenas. You being blessed and what you do with how God's blessed you. And I've often said that it's not what you got, it's what you do with what you've got. And so money plays a part in your blessing personally and what you do with it. Money certainly plays a part in our church and the blessing upon our church and how we handle it. And money certainly plays a part in the advancement of God's kingdom. All right, well, let's look at Malachi chapter 3. Now, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And I've had people say to me before, when I've talked about tithing and I've talked about giving, and I've had people say to me, well, preacher, is tithing an Old Testament or a New Testament principle? And the answer to that is yes. All right, now we happen to be in Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to focus on verses 10 and 11. And these are some real classic verses about tithing. Many times, to be honest with you, when you have heard a message about tithing, a preacher will zero in with verse 10 of chapter 3. But it really is a composite picture here. I don't think you should share verse 10 without sharing verse 11. So let's look at these two verses. Malachi chapter 3, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All right. Take your listening sheet, pen or pencil, and let me give you these four things about this concept of tithing for God's people. All right, first of all, the perspective of tithing. The perspective of tithing. All right, now follow this. This whole sermon is pretty simple, to be honest with you. And hopefully God will speak to you in one way or another with regard to this tremendous perspective and concept. And by the way, tithing and giving for me and my wife, we've been married 51 years and we started out our marriage tithing. And God has led us into the realm. He did that just within 2 years of our being married, to be honest with you. Into the realm of giving, to understand that concept as well. But tithing and giving have been two of the most exciting areas of our marital and spiritual journey. Time would not permit me to share with you the phenomenal insights that God has shown us and taught us and blessed us with in the arena of tithing and giving. We're so grateful that we learned the concept of giving, which is above the tithe. Now, tithing is giving 10%. Say that. 10%. Say it again. 10%. That's this many if you're counting on your fingers, okay? Tithing is giving 10% of your financial income to the Lord for His kingdom's work. Now, starting with your church, and I am convinced that that's where it needs to begin. Starting with your church, where you happen to belong, and where you happen to be fed spiritually. And that needs to be part of the operation of the church, is that you're getting fed spiritually. And that's why there's so much in this verse that I won't have time to unpack for you this morning. But Malachi says that there may be meat to eat in my house. And so you need to be getting fed spiritually. So when you come to God's house, you need to expect that you're going to get fed spiritually. When you've got anybody standing up here in this pulpit, when your pastor stands up in the pulpit, you need to bring come prepared to get fed. I was talking to a group of senior adults one time about a get-together that they were having, and it was obviously a Baptist church potluck luncheon thing. And somebody said, should we bring our own plates? And I said, yeah, bring both of them, the upper and the lower ones, okay? And so when you come to God's house, you need to bring your plates and expect to chomp down on some good meat that the pastor is dishing out. Same way when you go to Sunday school class, you need to expect your teacher to be presenting some good meat from God's Word. All right, so our tithing needs to start with your church, where you belong and where you're getting fed. All right, tithing, jot down these three things. I don't think I've got them on the PowerPoint, but jot these three things down. Tithing provides for God's work. It provides for God's work. So when you tithe, my friend, then you're helping do the work of God. I mean, you can't do it without money. You can't operate your house without money, can you? No, not at all. Well, why do we think we can operate God's house without money? You can't. And so tithing provides for God's work, and not just in God's house, but for God's kingdom work. So it provides for God's work. Secondly, it positions you for blessings. It positions you for blessings. You're okay with that, aren't you? Aren't you okay with getting blessed from God? Well, one of the ways you position yourself for that is to learn how to tithe. Tithing provides for God's work. It positions you for blessing, and it protects your assets. And I'm going to show you that when we get to the third or fourth point this morning. It protects your assets. Interesting that tithing will do that for you. Now, it all belongs to God. Let me say that again. How much did I just say? All. It all belongs to God. Tithing is a faith response. Say those two words with me. Faith response. It is a faith response of returning one-tenth to God out of gratitude and obedience as an act of faith. Now, I think even as short time as I've been here, I've already said to you that there are two basic roles in the Christian life that are nothing but raw faith. One is prayer. Prayer is just nothing but raw faith. And the second one is tithing. That's nothing but raw faith. And so tithing is returning to God one-tenth of how He has blessed us. And out of gratitude, out of obedience, as an act of faith. Now, jot these verses down. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. I've got that on the PowerPoint. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Wow, did you know that was in the Bible? It is He, because some of you already in this message, you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I'll give a tenth to God. I'm the one that worked for it. Yeah, you did. You did. But read this. It is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Yeah, you worked for it. And you need to be obedient and thankful to the Lord for allowing you to have that job, for allowing you to have the wisdom to do it, for allowing you to have the skill to do it, for allowing you to have an opportunity to do it, and allowing you to be able to make the money that you have made. It is God that causes us to get wealth. Look at Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether it be the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. You need to tithe. God has allowed you and empowered you to have what you have. God expects you to tithe. If you don't, my friend, you're a thief. We're in Malachi chapter 3. Back up a couple of verses. We didn't read this, but look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. I'm telling you, if you don't tithe, if you profess to be a Christian, if you indeed claim to be a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you do not tithe, you're a robber, my friend. You're a thief. You're robbing God. I'm just delivering the message this morning. I didn't write it down. All right, everybody following this? You're a thief. You're a robber if you're not honoring God with your tithe. Now, you may say, well, Jay, I make a lot. 10%. How much? 10%. 10%. Now, you may say, well, Jay, I don't make hardly anything. 10%. How much? 10%. Yeah. It's not how much you make. Now, God said you need to bring the tithes. God expects you to tithe. Don't rob God. If you make a lot, wow, you can be grateful for that. You can be thankful for that. And you need to be obedient to God. 10%. If you don't make much, 10%. Now, you may be in a situation. I'll tell you what, the way that we live as Americans, many times this happens to us, to where we get ourselves in such a fix financially that there's more month left at the end of the money. You ever been there? Oh my, I have. Yeah, can I have? Where there's more month left at the end of the money. And you may say, well, how do I tithe? Now, let me suggest this, that if you look at your paper, and I can tell you many, many stories. I had a lady, man, I wish I had the time to tell her whole story, but I had a lady come to me, and she was 62, 64, something like that, and she said, Pastor, after your sermon Sunday, I want to start tithing, but I put all my facts and figures down here on a piece of paper, And she said, I don't think I can tithe. And she handed me her paper, and I looked at it, and she said, what do you think? And I said, I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think you can tithe. She said, well, what should I do? I said, well, start tithing.
How's that for good pastoral advice?
I said, start tithing this week. She looked at me and she's, okay. I prayed with her, she left. Oh my, I ain't got time to tell you the end of that story. It is amazing. It is amazing. But on paper, so I would say to you, you know, start tithing. And if you've just gotten yourself in a situation where it just is totally, totally impossible, then I would do this. Commit to commence. Do you hear that? Commit to commence. Make a commitment that I'm going to start. And then start with regular giving. And then get yourself up to where you do regular tithing. And don't give yourself such a major out. I'd say within the next 12 months, you say to God, okay, I'm going to commit to commence. I'm going to start immediately. I'm going to commit to commence. And then I'm going to start with regular giving. And I do it on a percentage basis. And to say to God, within 12 months, God, I'd like to be to where I'm giving you 10%. And you just be amazed what God will do. All right? So, now, before I go to point number two, let me just say this, and that is this. I've had a lot of people say to me, should you tithe on the net or the gross? And so listen very carefully to the answer to this. Should you tithe on the net or the gross? It purely boils down to whether you want a net blessing or a gross blessing. I mean, that's it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think God keeps those kind of records. I really don't. You just decide, well, do I want a net blessing or a gross blessing? And then have at it. And don't get hung up with it. Say, well, amen, I can only do this on the net. Okay, that's great. Same principle applies. From God's word. Okay. All right, now here's the second thing. So I've given you the perspective of tithing. Secondly, the problem tithing. The problem with tithing. And here it is in a nutshell. Let me tell you the problem with tithing. The problem with tithing is that it's unreasonable. Say that word with me. Unreasonable. Let's punch the un. Unreasonable. All right, say it again. Unreasonable. And I'm going to illustrate this to you. Tithing, the problem with tithing, and yet God expects us to tithe. But I'm telling you, it is unreasonable. It makes no sense. That's why it's faith, to be honest with you. That is the bottom line. That's why it's faith. Because it makes no sense. It is unreasonable. Now, I need some help with this. I saw Ty Gardner come in a while ago, did I? Ty, where are you? Come on up here, pal. And is Jenna Cantrell all the way up in the sound booth? Can the sound. All right. Yeah. Come on down here. Oh, this is like the Price is Right. All right. Jenna Cantrell, come on down. All right. Hey. All right. Good. Ty, thanks for helping, man. You're welcome. You're in what grade are you? Eighth grade. Three of the happiest years of my life were spent in the eighth grade, man. Tell you, what a great year. And this is Jenna. Jenna, are you in high school? College? What? High school? Senior in high school. That is great. Are you nervous? Yeah. Well, let me tell you, so am I. All right. This is Ty, and this is Jenna, and you guys are going to help me illustrate this point about tithing, okay? It is very unreasonable. So now follow these questions here. If I were to offer you $10 or $9, which would you rather have? Get spiritual on me. We'll get there.
Probably the 10.
Not probably. Let me tell you something. If there was somebody over here handing out $10 and somebody over here handing out $9, you know where I'm heading? I'm going to the one that is going to give me $10, all right? Count that and see how much you got there, okay? And I would be the same with you. If I was going to be in a line where they're handing out $10 or $9, how many you got?
10.
Okay, you got in the right line. That's a good deal. All right. Now, which goes further? Now, this is not a spiritual question. I'm just trying to show you from a practical standpoint. All right, which goes further, $9 or $10?
Ten.
It does. Now, how much is a tithe on $10? How much would that be?
$1.
One. So, there you go. One and one tenth. So, now you have how much left?
$9.
$9. Okay. See how much you got there. You got 10? So you got 10 in one hand, and you got how many in the other hand?
Nine.
So you got 10 in one hand,
mm-hmm.
Nine in the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, hold those out apart. If you do what God says you need to tithe. He's the one that's blessed you. He's the one that's given you the ability to make the money, to get the money. But he says you need to tithe. And I think that is unreasonable. Say that word with me. Unreasonable. But I want to function by faith. I want to be obedient to God. I want to do what he says. And out of gratitude and appreciation to God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a step of faith. Now, why is that a step of faith? It's a step of faith because I know that 10 goes further than 9. Everybody following this? I mean, you don't have to be a rocket surgeon to figure this out. 10 goes further than 9. Ah, wait a minute. Who did he give the 10th to? When he says to give it, you give it to God. You give it to God. So you're tithing to God for God's work. And it's at that point that God goes into action. And I don't know how he does it. I just know that he does. That God goes into action. And God is able to make 9. Hold up the one with 9. God is able to make 9. You don't remember which, do you? 9 would be the one that doesn't weigh as much. Yeah. Okay. God is able to make 9 go further than I can make 10 go. Again, I don't know how he does it. I just know that it works. And there are several of you, many of you, that could stand up and say, yeah, Jay, I can tell you that's fact. And it's unreasonable, except it's a reaction of faith and a reaction of obedience and a reaction of gratitude and thankfulness that we respond to God and we honor God with our tithe. So now, instead of having 10, we only have how much? 9. Well, yeah. Good math. Now we only have 9 out of the 10 that he has given us. And God is able to go into action and make that 9 go further than you could make the 10 go. And it's an amazing journey of faith. All right, now, you can put that back in there, and you can put that back in there. Now, how much total do you have in your hands?
20.
20. What would the tithe be on 20?
$2.
Now, let me say a couple of things to close, and that's this. Next week, I'm going to check your records because I'm going to give you that $20, but I'm also going to make sure that you tithe on it, okay? Let's hear it for them, all right? All right. Thanks. Bless you. Good deal. Oh, be sure to tell your friends it pays to go to church. All right. Go ahead. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Didn't they do great? Now, that's the deal. That is the deal. If you've got 10, and again, you may say, Jay, $10 is hard to come by. I know. So what should I do with it? 10%. 10%. Jay, you don't have any idea how much money I've accumulated. No, that's true. God does, by the way. He knows. And you know what God thinks? 10%. 10%. That's what he expects. For your blessing, for ministry to thrive, and for God's kingdom to be advance. All right, here's the third thing I want you to see. We're talking about tithing. If you've got the money, honey. All right. The perspective of tithing. The problem with tithing. Number 3, the promise of tithing. Now look at verse 11. We're in Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Well, it actually spills over from verse 10. Verse 10 says, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Look at this. That there may be meat in my house. And now look at this. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And the choir did a wonderful job of singing this verse out a while ago. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the promise of tithing. You see, not only do we have God's provision, but we also position ourselves for God's protection. And I've seen this time and time again. He will rebuke. on our behalf. Have you ever had things devoured from you? Oh my, I can tell you some stories of that, and you probably can too. It's amazing to me why we can't see this. God allows us to have 100%. And I know you got stuff. You got stuff. We're Americans. We got stuff. And we've got stuff stuffed everywhere. And some of you built sheds out back so that you could put your stuff in. And then after you fill that out, some of you actually have gone to somebody else and rented a shed, haven't you? Yep. God allows us to have 100%. He expects us to tithe. We respond in obedience and faith, and He blesses us with ongoing provision and protection just by our faith obedience to Him. Here's the final thing. The provision for tithing. And number four, the provision for tithing. He gives. He blesses. We give in faith. His work is accomplished. Let me stop there just for a minute. Now, I do not have the very latest Southern Baptist statistics, but I can tell you they're going to be somewhere south of 4%. Which means this, the average Southern Baptist gives to his church, his or her church, less than 4%. What did we say the tithe was? Can you imagine? Now, you see, we're getting ready to present our budget here before too long from the stewardship committee. Probably next month you'll get to see that. And we're in the process of developing that right now. But can you imagine if the average Southern Baptist, and you may say, well, hey, we're in a good church. I know you are, but you're average Southern Baptist, I can guarantee that. Can you imagine? If, in fact, we were able to present a budget to you next month, and if everybody did what God expects us to do, well, what if I did that? Yeah, you're going to get blessed. You're going to get blessed. Oh, and God's going to protect you, and God's going to provide for you, and He's going to protect you. And you're going to get blessed so that you can keep giving. That's the way it works. I'm just sharing with you biblical principles. And so we presented this budget, and then the income was over twice that, almost 2.5 times. If you were looking for a place to get excited and start clapping and saying hallelujah and amen and stuff like that, that would have been perfect right there. Now think about that. And I'm saying if we all just did the basics, God's work flourishes, you get blessed, God's kingdom advances. Wouldn't you like the problem of showing up at some business meeting some night and your stewardship chairman said, oh man, we got several $1,000 we don't know what to do with. Duh. Wouldn't that be a tough thing to have to deal with? Everybody with me? He gives, He blesses. We give in faith. His work is accomplished. He protects. He provides. We give again. That's the way it works. Tithing helps to unify the church. I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. It helps to unify the church, and it helps us to focus on his kingdom work and ministry. Now, I want to show you this final passage of Scripture. And when I was pastoring, I thought, if people will get their hearts right with God, then they'll get their billfolds right with God. That was my basic mentality. And I read from the book of Matthew, a passage that I had read before, and it dawned on me what God was trying to teach me and us, because I had it totally backwards. I thought, you know, if people will get their hearts right with God, then their finances will follow, and they'll learn to tithe, etc. But look what it says in Matthew, I think it's chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Now look at this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That happens to be in your shed out back. Remember, I think I talked about that just moments ago. All right? He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, here's what hit me. Look at that last phrase there, that last statement. It says, for where your what? Treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wow, and that hit me like a ton of bricks one day when I was reading that, because I had had it totally backwards. I was thinking, you know, if people get their hearts right with God, then their treasure, their money will fall in place. But no, God says, trust me, try me, prove me. God says, you need to tithe. It's something I expect of you to do, and I'm the one that causes you to get wealth. I'm the one that has allowed you to have the strength to get up on Monday morning and go to work. I'm the one that gives you that strength. I'm the one that's provided that job for you. I'm the one that's allowed you to have those skills, for you to have the ability to earn a dollar. And he says, so out of faith and out of gratitude and out of obedience, you need to tithe. And here's the deal. If you'll be obedient to God, my friend, that's where your treasure will be. You'll be putting your treasure where it needs to be, not in your shed out back, not under your bed, not in your bank account, not in your CDs, not in your investments, not in the things and the stuff that we buy and the toys that we play with. No, my friend, when we really learn to put God first and to honor God and to be obedient to him and to walk in faith and to advance God's kingdom, that's where our treasure is going to be. And look what he says, for where your treasure is, there will your what? Wow. And the reality is, some of your heart's not here at church. The reality is, some of your heart's not in God's word. The reality is, some of your heart's not in walking obediently to the Lord. The reality is, some of your heart's not in kingdom work and kingdom advancement and eternal things, because our heart, our treasure happens to be in these temporal things that we accumulate. And again, don't misunderstand me. I like stuff. I got stuff. I got nice stuff. I got more stuff than I need, to be honest with you. But God knows that stuff doesn't have me. God knows that there's a lot of stuff that passes through my and Kay's hands, because we learned a long time ago that God will get it to us if he'll get it, if he knows he can get it through us. And we don't function like this. I'm telling you, for 50 years we've functioned like that. And I can tell you story after story after story of some phenomenal works of God that has passed through our hands for the advancement of God's kingdom. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not down on stuff. It's God that's given us stuff. But he knows we ain't got sticky fingers. So I guess my question is this. Where's your heart? Well, I could probably figure that out if you'd answer this question. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Where is your treasure? If you tell me where that is, I'll know where your heart is. And by the way, if you got the money, honey, let me pray with you. Father, you are a phenomenally generous Father. I am amazed at how generous you are and how generous you've been to me and to my wife and our family. And it's exciting to be involved in your kingdom, your kingdom's work. It's tremendously exciting, Father, just to know that eternity is really what matters. What we have in the bank, or what we have in our checkbook, or what we have in our pocket, what we have in assets, our house, our houses, our land, our farms, our CDs, our investments. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. Now, Father, I pray that you would help us to be obedient children out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving, because you've been so good to us. We give you thanks and we give you praise today. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now listen very carefully. I know I've been talking about money. And by the way, if you're a visitor with us today, please don't draw the conclusion that, man, I went to First Baptist Church and all that preacher talks about is money. Well, that's not the case. Today, that's all I've talked about. That's because I care about these people. I want them blessed, and I care about this church. I want it blessed, and I care about God's kingdom. I want it blessed and advanced. And so I know we've been talking about money, but let me say this, that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the greatest, greatest, greatest need of your life. And so I say to you today that if you're not a Christian and you're not sure you're a Christian, or you're only 90% sure, if you're only 90% sure, you're probably 100% wrong. So come and let us introduce you to Jesus Christ today. Maybe you're living locally and you don't have a church home, and God's saying to you, this is the place and now's the time. Well, we invite you to come and attach yourself to this church. This is a great church and some great days ahead for this church. And God may be saying, I want you to be a part of this great fellowship. If you haven't followed Jesus in believers' baptism, I need to do that, and we'll be glad to counsel with you and then expedite that just as readily as possible. Now, you just come and we'll counsel with you regarding that. I'm going to ask Christians to come and kneel an altar prayer and pray about your money. You may need to hit your knees and say, God, wow, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me enough money to eat a breakfast this morning, or to have a roof over my head and to have some heat, since it's going to get cold. That just may be a good thing to start with, my friend. Now, the next thing you ought to deal with is one or the other. God, thank you that you've taught me how to tithe, and I'm glad to be obedient in that. Or, God, wow, I need to start tithing. So I want to encourage you, Christians, come and spend some time at the altar, and you're going to be in one of those categories. God, thank you that you've taught me how to tithe, and thank you that I've got the money to do that. Or, God, help me get it started, because I want to be obedient. I want to function by faith. I want to lay up for myself treasures in heaven, in heaven. So I want to encourage Christians to come and to deal with God here at the altar, having to do with the money that he has put in your pocket. All right, let's stand together. Come on to the altar.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea. I take my cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
All right, thank you so much, and we'll honor any who may continue to pray. Thank you for your attendance today and for your attentiveness with us, with this message, and I trust that God will minister his word to you in a great way today and in the days ahead. Let me just finalize this message by saying to you, leadership in God's house, leadership, I think, needs to be from tithers. Our deacons need to tithe. Our Sunday school teachers need to tithe. Those on our committees need to tithe. I dealt one time with a stewardship committee, and I had reason to think that the chairman was not tithing, so I confronted him about that. And he hung his head, and he said, "No, you're right. You're right, preacher." I said, "Well, here's the deal. Why don't you take the remainder of the week and see if you need to start tithing, which you do, or hand me your resignation on Sunday." And I said, "No, I'll be praying that you'll start tithing." So that next Sunday, he handed me his resignation. which was a tragic deal. But you may say, well, Jay, you don't have the right to do that. Au contraire, mon frère. Yeah. You see, God has appointed the pastor to look out for your souls. So why in the world would I want a thief at the head of our stewardship committee? Does that make sense? Go like this, yeah? Yeah. All right, hey. I don't think I've seen Dwayne Isringhausen here. Now, his mother-in-law, I think, is in the hospital. And so I don't think I've seen him. But Tim Hancock, he's here. He's one of our deacons, one of our deacons of the week. And I'm going to ask Tim to come and to lead us in prayer. Now, don't forget, deacons, you've got a meeting at 4:30. And don't forget, we've got Bible study at 6 o'clock tonight. And we've got business meeting immediately following that. And Tim Hancock, I love you, my friend. Thank you for serving the Lord here and being my friend. Bless you. Lead us in prayer, would you please?
I'm going to ask Miss Amy to come up, and Miss K and Mr. J, I'm going to ask you to turn around and come back. Miss K outside.
She's probably just outside.
Okay. Come on down. That's worked twice in the same service. How about that? You know, as we get a little closer to Thanksgiving, my mind kind of turns that way each the end of summer and fall. And as I prepare myself, it's not just a one-day event. It's actually I'm preparing over several weeks of what I'm thankful for. And I wanted to let you know this because I only get to pray like twice a year or what have you. So this is close enough to Thanksgiving. We're going to just go ahead and do it. But about, you know, starting tomorrow, and then as we get into the week, and especially midway through the week, I look with anticipation of coming back and being in the Lord's house with you all. And so I just wanted to let you know that I thank you and I love each and every one of you. This happens to be Pastor Appreciation Week, and Miss Amy's going to bring up some flowers because we know you guys really like flowers. Actually, we have a couple wives. Jim, come on up. We have a couple wives who's ill, and I know there's sickness going through. So, guys, here's a little word on the, come on over here. There's a little word on this. Miss Kay gets to carry her flowers, but we expect both of you to carry your flowers in just like this as you present them to your wife here directly.
Look at there.
Thank you. You know, part of the... One of the things that I'm very thankful for is our pastoral staff and the privilege, no, the honor it is for us and for me to serve in Christ's work with these men and lady of God. So I thank you so much, Brother Jim. Thank you. And another round of applause would not hurt. Now I'm going to do what I was appointed to do. I'm going to come up and pray us out of here, and thank you all for being here. Father, we thank you for our opportunities, and we thank you for the opportunity to give our tithes and offerings to you and support our church. And we thank you for the opportunities that we have to just fellowship with one another and work with one another towards your purpose in our lives. We thank you for these men. We just pray a special blessing upon these men. And Father, as a church community, I just pray that we will show our appreciation to them. We love you for who you are and thank you for what you've given us. Amen.